Blog Talk Radio.
What's good, Hollywood? My people out there in radio, phone land, internet land, wherever you are listening to this amazing show. What's going on to y'all? Tweety, what's happening?
What's happening with you, LJ? How's your weekend rolled out?
So you sound like you're in a wind tunnel.
Yeah, I'm in my car right now.
Oh, the weekend was beautiful, matey. Football season is over for my kids. Long day yesterday, as usually. A lot of times we usually have long days of the weekend. Sometimes football game, and then our kids had a couple of basketball games yesterday evening. But you know, everything is everything. What about y'all? I heard y'all took that L this weekend again.
Yeah, took another L. It was actually a decent game. But, yeah, the boys came out on the short end of the stick. I said, but I'm seeing progress every week. So, I got a lot of parachute players on the team. So, hopefully, we'll get a lot better next year.
Yeah, my kids lost pretty bad yesterday. I think the score was 42-14 or 48-14, something like that. It was pretty ugly, but you know, you live and you learn. I thought this was kind of, well, some people will say it's cool, some people might say it's funny, corny. At the end of the game, one of the kids, one of the players on my kids' team said, but he said something, if I remember correctly. He said, we may have lost on the scoreboard, but we still won in here. And he was beating on his chest where his heart is. So.
Oh, okay.
Somebody out there teaching that moral victory game. But, you know, they got some medals and all of that, which, you know, I was talking to my wife in the car. I said, what'd they get medals for? I mean, maybe I could see if you was like the runner-up or something like that, but you lose the first game in the playoffs, medal? You can keep that.
Right.
I would rather it have been cheaper for my kids to play in the league than for them to get them damn medals at the end of that game.
Right.
Because I can't think of what a medal for winning, excuse me, for losing the first game of the playoffs represent, except for a participation trophy. That's that Rasheed Wallace. Both teams play hard, my man.
Right.
Oh, that I don't see what the medal represents.
First round of the playoffs, reality,
huh? Yep, first round of the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was saying. You'll probably see that team out whenever they had the regionals. That team that my kids lost to yesterday, you'll probably see them out there playing. They got some. I didn't like their jerseys, but my wife thought it was kind of cool. I thought the jersey was kind of whack. It was funny because that's the team. That organization is the organization my kids wanted to play for. But their practices are a little bit further north, and I was like, nah, I ain't trying to drive that far every day, playoff. Let me get on the team. We still have to drive like 20 minutes to practice or whatnot, but you know, however long it is. But anyways, let's get right to it. The story that's burning up the streets right now. New York Giants kicker Josh Brown has been placed on the commissioner's exemption list. It makes sure I'm telling you, I'm out here giving you the, oh man, my phone's tripping. Make sure I'm out here giving you the hardcore facts. Now my phone don't want to do with it. Anyway, my phone don't want to do what the folks be doing. It's commissioner's exemption list. So, if you haven't heard what's going on with this, basically, I think him and his wife are getting divorced. I can't remember that piece, but basically it comes down to what the media talk is that this guy has There's no basically. He admitted to abusing his wife. Yeah, admitted to abusing his wife. Now, when all of this first came out, when the incident first happened or whatever with the suspicion of domestic violence, I can't remember exactly when it was, he was only suspended a game by the NFL. And so what I've been, my understanding is that the NFL kind of claimed the same, kind of claimed that, oh, we didn't have access to all of the information, which is all of this information that started to flow out over the last week or so about all of his admissions and all this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, the NFL just recently said they were going to reopen the case or whatever they call it. What are your thoughts on how the NFL handled this situation and how it is currently handling it?
Okay, I see this situation. They handled this situation really similar to the way they handled Ray Rice at first. It was more of a, all right, we hear the story, bad guy, sit you down for a game or two. But once it got to the public and you hear the public outcry, it was more of a, oh, my bad, we didn't know all of this at first. It's the same thing.
I need to read the...
I said they do the same thing in every case, in my opinion. As long as there's no video or pictures or anything to incriminate the person, the NFL tries to make the story go away as fast as possible. I mean, that even happened in the Greg Hardy situation. They put him on the commissioner's exempt list to try to see if the story would go away for a year. And really, for a while, it did until the Cowboys picked him up. Same thing with Adrian Peterson. Put him on a commissioner's exempt list, see if he can go away. The difference is between with the Ray Rice and the rest of those, and Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson in these other two cases, Adrian Peterson had photos, Ray Rice had a video. These two, Greg Hardy and this kicker, Chris Brown, is really word of mouth in a criminal case. And with Chris Brown, I think the NFL is very wrong with Chris Brown because he admittedly said...
Josh Brown.
I've done this about Josh Brown. Okay, he admittedly said that he did this multiple times to his wife, and NFL pretty much turned the other way. Now, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was a Pro Bowl situation where him and his wife was into it so hard that the NFL had to find his wife a separate hotel room. And since it didn't go reported, it never made it to the news. But it really don't surprise me.
Let me collect my thoughts and give an articulate answer because I have a multiple point thought to get out. Number one, I believe that the NFL cannot continue if they want their business to be believable or if they want to maintain their credibility amongst fans and amongst the public. They cannot continue to every time a situation like this happens, which appears to be the, well, I don't say every time, they cannot continue to say, oh, well, we didn't know all of this happened. Because one time, I got it. You know, you may say, okay, well, we didn't know the extent of it after first time. But after everything that happened with Ray Rice, after everything and all the publicity that happened with Greg Hardy, you would think the NFL would have procedures in place to do everything they possibly could to get every piece of information out there on the situation prior to making a ruling or handling or handing down a suspension or a fine or whatever however they adjudicate the situation. So I don't think the NFL can continue to come out and have, like, I can't believe that for the third time, or however many times this is, you're going to tell me, oh, well, we just didn't know that. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. Second point is, after the situation at the Pro Bowl, and I forget exactly what drove them to suspend him one game, how do you justify after, I believe, the initial Greg Hardy suspension, which when he came back from the commissioner's exemption, like you mentioned, I believe the initial suspension for him was 10 games. I feel like it got reduced to 4 or 6, somewhere. It got reduced. But the initial suspension was, I believe, 10 games.
Right.
The initial suspension for Ray Rice was 2 games, and then
right.
he got expanded to whatever it is. How do you justify after those two, when you have shown that at a minimum it's 2 games, how do you justify suspending this guy 1 game? Just one.
Right.
After these two high profile, and especially the Ray Rice situation, because, you know, he's a pretty well-known, I would say he was more well-known maybe than Greg Hardy was, due to the fact that the Ravens had recently won a Super Bowl. He played running back. And then the
right.
video obviously took his thing to a whole nother level as far as who had access to it and who probably was seeing it. A lot of people were seeing that video and hearing his name that probably don't even watch sports or pay attention to sports in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So that's the
right.
other thing. It's like, how do you, when you have these two situations, how do you even justify going back to 1 game? Especially
right.
after the Ray Rice thing, when you said after 2 games, I think he got suspended indefinitely. How do you go to 1 game?
You can't.
I mean,
that doesn't even seem logical. They have no logical explanation for it, and I think that's really where you find a lot of people who really want to scream, I hate to bring this card out, but the race card, they actually have a point. It's like, dude, this man has told you countless of times, I've abused my wife. You have to separate him and his wife at your All-Star game, and yet he gets a 1-game suspension. Where even if you want to throw the Greg Hardy and Ray Rice situation in it, yeah, you have proof that Ray Rice did it once. You have a case saying that Greg Hardy did it once, and you pretty much tried to kick them out the NFL once the public started crying about it. Now that the public has found out about this kicker, you still on that let's wait and see. It's not adding up. And I don't really want to play the race card, but right now the race card looking real convenient. And it makes the NFL product look very, very bad. And like you say, their credibility will probably take another hit because of it.
That was going to be my next point, is the whole race issue. I think this, having this kicker, or punter, whatever the hell it is, and seeing just, we can kind of leave Greg Hardy out because I don't think his, we'll lump all three of them together. I think this is why black people are so skeptical of white people and their motives, and when you talk about the whole thought process of people thinking there's police brutality and all that, even if you just take out, don't even consider the suspensions that were handed down by their employer, which is the NFL. I guess the NFL technically isn't their employer. Their team is their employer, but the organization overall is the NFL, right? You take that out of the situation. When Ray Rice and Greg Hardy, when Ray Rice was going through this thing, it was all over the news everywhere. So many people said he doesn't deserve to be in the NFL, blah, blah, blah. But and Ray Rice is black, Greg Hardy is black. When Greg Hardy came back, and I believe there wasn't much information at first. There wasn't the details, to my knowledge, of what he was accused of had not become public until, I think it was either right before he signed with the Cowboys or shortly after. I can't remember. But the NFL, the Cowboys received so much persecution from not just sports fans, but the public in general. The public in general. But yet you have a white player who, again, like you said, admitted that on more than one occasion he abused his wife, but the public outcry is not nearly the same as it is when two black players go through similar situations. Even though, from my understanding, with Ray Rice, according to his wife, his now wife, it was an isolated incident. I'm not sure about the whole Greg Hardy thing. I can't remember about that. I don't remember about that. But that's why situations like this highlight why black people I get offended at times when I hear people say that racism doesn't exist. Because then you see things like this happen, and the magnitude with which the public goes in or focuses or projects negativity on situations is not even close. But we'll keep up to date on this situation and see what happens. So I want to get to this controversial topic that I don't think we've had now, but I'm pretty sure we have not talked about this at all since it happened. The Colin Kaepernick thing. Him taking a knee and now he's starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not even his job back, but the whole kneeling during the national anthem. We haven't talked about it. It's died down a little bit, but there's some interesting things that possibly are happening as a result of it. How do you feel, regardless of whether about his ability as a football player, what are your thoughts about people standing or sitting or kneeling for the national anthem?
I don't know. I've never really had any particular feelings about it anyway. Like you said, you've always been taught to stand up and put your hand over your heart. But I'd say even growing up, I saw adults do it different ways. So I'm just saying, I've seen some see them put their hand over their heart. I think it's, I don't really have an issue with however you do it, but do understand that you do live in this country. And it's, like you say, if you're an American citizen, whether you like the goings on of this country or not, just understand there are people are going to speak out, or there will be, I guess you could say, public ramifications if you are a public figure and you decide not to at least stand for the national anthem when it's being played. That's just the country we live in. Me personally, I stand up. I don't necessarily put my hand on my heart, but I at least stand up. And what Colin Kaepernick decided to do was protest, like you say, how he would normally show respect for the flag, because he felt like the country wasn't showing respect to what he would consider minorities or people of color. So it was just exactly what it was, a protest. And anybody who sees it as disrespect or anything like that, I just ask them to go and read the Constitution. That's not a sign of disrespect. He's showing he's disagreeing with the country as a whole on some things that they do. And that's all it is.
Freedom of speech. So you're going to hear me speak. This has been a very interesting topic to me. Very interesting. Because I always find it always amazes me that when he first was I forget what it was. He decided he was going to sit during the national. He sat the first time. And then the first thing people like to throw out is you're disrespecting veterans. The interesting part about that is the first people who generally say that aren't veterans. I just think that's interesting. Is you have so many people who will be quick to say by not standing for the flag, you're disrespecting veterans. You're disrespecting our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and whatever the hell they call, and Marines, whatever the hell they call Coast Guard folks, Coasties or whatever. No disrespect to the Coast Guard. I just don't know. But it's rarely the people who are in, I mean, I'm not saying people in those services don't feel that way, but the people who usually open their mouth and say that, the first people are generally people who have never served in those, in any one of those branch or in any branch of the military, whatsoever. So I find that interesting. The second part is, I agree with you. Let me go, before I get to that point, let me go one other point. Standing for the flag, to me, is more of a, it's an unwritten tradition, if you will. I'm willing to bet that 99% of the people in the United States cannot tell you why they stand for the flag or what the purpose is or what it originated from. So most people can say, I'm sure some people say, well, it's out of respect. So do you, every time you hear the flag, you don't, if do you, every time you hear the Star Spangled Banner, do you stand up? Or is it only a public event? Because if it's about respect, that means every time you hear the Star Spangled Banner, you're telling me that you're going to stand up. Or is it only when you hear that sporting event or some type of government event or something like that? But again, I don't think most people even know or understand why you stand for the national anthem. I don't know why you stand for the national anthem. I'm like you. We've already done it. In my current profession, I have no choice. Right. I have no choice in my current profession. I stand, part of my profession, no qualms. Now, that being said, I am a veteran. I have gone to other countries, put my life on the line in defense of my country, and this great Constitution of ours. The Constitution of ours. So as a veteran of armed conflict, not just a veteran of military service, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful to people who served and haven't deployed, I'm just telling you I am a veteran who has both served and I have gone overseas and had people try to kill me for this country. That being said, am I offended by what Colin Kaepernick did? Not in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I don't give a shit. That's just true. Part of it is I don't care. The other part of it is he's exercising his freedom of speech. I don't think in the Constitution it says you get freedom of speech as long as everybody likes it.
Right.
He's got freedom. He's not doing anything illegal. He's not doing anything wrong. I mean, he could be out there blocking freeways, doing all kinds of stuff that causes other people harm, money, time, effort, etc. He's not doing anything. He's just taking a knee. You're offended. What I will ask those people, if you're so offended, you have so much love and so much patriotism, you know, less than 1% of the United States population serves in the military. If your ass is that patriotic and that offended by somebody taking a knee during the national anthem, even though this man has repeatedly said he does not mean it to disrespect people, why don't you sign up for the military and take your ass to war and defend that Constitution, defend that flag that you swear up and down this is so disrespectful? You're so patriotic. Why don't you do that? Or why don't you get into one of these low-paying government jobs, like being a teacher or something? And I don't mean that disrespectfully to teachers. I mean that as in, like, teachers, you know, you're not going to make a whole lot. You're not going to get rich being a high school, middle school, elementary teacher. But it's still a government job. And it's low-paying in comparison to, you know, if you went to a Fortune 500 company and you have the opportunity to move up the corporate ladder and your salary will you have the potential to grow your salary and bonuses and stuff like that.
Right.
But that you know, it's an interesting topic. One we'll keep in touch with. I mean, we'll keep following. I mean, it's kind of died down a little bit. You know, he started his first game of the season last week. I think San Francisco plays an afternoon game today, so we'll see. He played decently last week. Looked a little rusty. But NBA, my favorite sport, basketball, is about tip off Tuesday. We got 3 games on the slate. I think the Knicks and the Cavs, I believe the Jazz and Portland, and then the late game, the Warriors play the Spurs. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier. What do you think about the NBA season? Because a lot of people are saying that, well, I don't say a lot of people. I have read and heard different things, whether it's articles, podcasts, TV shows, or whatnot, or newspaper articles, that people think this season is going to be fairly boring because of how talented the Warriors are in comparison to the rest of the NBA. Do you agree or disagree with that statement, and why?
Well, I disagree with that statement because I personally didn't like seeing, I guess you would call it, dominant teams. I mean, if everybody is projecting, everybody will stop. I want to see it. I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, judge it before it happens. Or who knows? I ain't saying Golden State's going to have a trash year and not make the playoffs. And that shouldn't happen. But I am going to say it's not a guarantee Golden State wins the NBA title, even with Kevin Durant. Because I feel like even with you adding offense, you're really trying to overcompensate for the fact that you have a lack of interior defense. And that's really what cost you in the NBA Finals against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I just figure that nothing's a guarantee. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing how Golden State plays together. How does Kevin Durant interact with, and we know at least three other All-Stars on that team. It's not just a two-man show no more. How does Kevin Durant, you know, figure into things when it's really a five-man show on the offensive side of the court? I'm looking forward to seeing stuff like that. I don't know about you. I don't think it's going to be a boring season. That's why I disagree with it, because you now have a true team to beat again, and you have another reason to try to beat Golden State, in my opinion. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a boring season at all.
I think it's going to be a great season. But before I even get into my answer, I'm going to have to disagree with you on the reason that the Warriors lost the finals last year. I don't think rim protection was that big of a deal. I think they didn't make shots. If you look at their field goal percentage, and particularly their three-point percentage, the last three games of that season, excuse me, of that series, I think they just didn't make shots in the way that they normally were making them, as far as, you know, being able to put those points together in bunches. And I cannot – it blows my mind how little people aren't giving or aren't putting any emphasis on the fact that Golden State had injuries and how the injuries affected that series. I mean, so many people, especially people who are rooting for LeBron and the Cavs, they just make it seem like the Cavs just everything remained equal and the Cavs just turned it around and came back from 3-1. That's not true. Andrew Bogut got injured, was out for the rest of the series. Andre Iguodala hurt his back. I believe it was game 6. It may have been game 5, but I know it was game 6. So he was hobbled in game 6 and game 7. And as we know from the previous year, he did an outstanding job when he was playing against the Cavs in the not this past year's finals, but the finals before that. And did a great job guarding LeBron. LeBron had outrageous stats, but he also shot less than 40%, I believe. So, and then Steph Curry wasn't 100%. So I think it's insane for people to just give the Cavs so much credit without looking at how injuries played a factor into it, not even considering the Draymond Green suspension. And going back and going to that other thing, I don't think rim protection is as important as people make it out to be. Because these same people, this is what's crazy about it, the same people in one sentence will say, oh, the NBA is a jump shooting league, but you can't win without rim protection. Well, why is there such an emphasis placed on rim protection if it's a jump shooting league? The Warriors' best lineup was a lineup that where their tallest player was 6'8", and they didn't have a rim protector. In the day and age that the NBA is in right now, rim protection is not as valuable as it was, because, one, you don't have as many – there's more three-pointers taken – more jump shooters. You don't have dominant big men. You don't have guys that beat you off the dribble constantly like you had 10, 15 years ago. So I don't think the rim protection, the lack thereof, will hurt Golden State, because their best lineup is probably going to be with Clay, Steph, Durant, Green, and Iguodala. We ran out of time. I talked too much.
Yeah.
Thank you all for tuning in.
Yeah, I ain't got time to come back.
Make sure y'all.
But I come back.
Tell a friend to tell a friend to listen next week. When you get the link, check us out on Facebook. Send it to your friends to listen. Thank you all for tuning in. Y'all have a great Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Enjoy this show.
Peace.
Peace.